Good evening. It's good to see you here this evening. So often during this time of the year, and it is one of those things that I am thankful for, that people do, for the most part, spend some time thinking about Jesus Christ. It's so hard to get many people in the world to think about Him throughout the year, but at least we have this opportunity to hopefully have some think about Him, and hopefully that will make an impact upon their lives in some way. Open doors for us to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. You know, there is a fact, certainly we understand that it is not a biblical holiday, but there is a fact in all of this that Jesus Christ did come to this earth. And that's really the most important thing. It's not trees, it's not gifts, but the simple fact that in this world of sin, Jesus Christ came and He died for each of us. John chapter 3, in verses 14 through 17, Jesus says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in Him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him." You know, the world's stingiest man one time went Christmas shopping, and he decided that everything that he saw was too expensive. Until he came across a $50 vase that was marked down to $2 because the handle on it was broken off. So he wanted the store to wrap up the vase and send it to his friend so he'd know that he'd think he spent $50 on it, but he would think that the little handle got broke off during shipping. So he got a letter a couple of weeks after Christmas, and it said, "I want to thank you for the vase and how that each piece was individually wrapped." Right? It makes it kind of hard to believe that at that point. Sometimes people give cheap gifts. That is not the case with God. God gave Jesus. He didn't loan Him. He didn't rent Him. He didn't sell Him to us. He gave Him to each and every one of us. God gave Jesus before we ever thought about it. He saw us for what we were. He saw what we needed. And out of His immense love, He gave. But as we think about what God gave, I want us to think about three aspects of what He gave. Number one, He gave the very best. He didn't send an angel. He didn't make a prophet. He sent the best. He sent His only begotten Son. John 1 says that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that He was the Lamb given by God, provided by God. It also says that He is His only begotten Son. He is the unique Son of God. He is the one of a kind. There is no one else like Jesus Christ, and that is what God gave us. He didn't give someone like me or someone like you. He gave someone that was one of a kind, that was uniquely qualified to take our sins away, to be the Lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. How much does God value you? Well, you should see how much He values you in the fact that He gave the very best. You know, if a husband gives, or a fiance gives his bride to be, if he gives her a fake diamond but tells her it's a real diamond, that might cause a problem, mightn't it? Because she would say, "He didn't give me the very best that He could have." Not that He couldn't have, but He's just cheap. Let's just put it like that. We see the care that someone has for us when they give the very best to us. But how valuable are we? Well, we're more valuable than the world. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, "For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What will a man give for his soul?" And when we read that, we think about, yes, there's a choice to be made there. But really what's being said there by Jesus Christ is that you are more valuable. Each and every one of us individually are more valuable than all that there is in this world. We are never impoverished because we are of such great value to God. We also know our value in the fact that He paid for us with His own blood. And Jim mentioned that this morning during the communion message. But Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed by perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That lamb that came to take away the sins of the world did so with His, as Peter puts it, His precious blood. We are not about gold. We are not about silver. We are not about money. We are about blood. Blood that covers us and washes our sins away. Precious blood. Pure blood. Sinless blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. You are not cheap and you are not trivial in God's eyes. And it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what country you were born in. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what sins you've committed. You are precious in the eyes of God. You are valuable. And He gave the very best to save you. Romans chapter 5, Paul writes to the brethren there in verses 6 through 8. He says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare to even die. But God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While I was a sinner, while I was that which God does not want, He still sent His Son to die for me because of His love. So God gave His very best. But God also gave because you needed Him to give, and I needed Him to give. Man has a very difficult time thinking like God thinks and seeing as God sees and understanding as God understands, as we talked about in class this morning. But God knows us because He made us. He understands, Nathan. He understands why I have, as I mentioned to you last week, right? Those idiosyncrasies. He understands where all those come from. He understands me. And He knows you. And all of you, if you have any idiosyncrasies. But God knows how much as well that we need Him. He knows that. Many people don't realize how much, though, that they need God. They don't realize how badly their life is lacking because they're not looking to God. They don't realize what God has given them even when they do turn away from Him. I mean, just from a physical standpoint, we need God for the air we breathe, for the water we drink, for the food we eat, for the clothing on our backs, for the roofs over our heads, for the health that we have. We need God. Those things come from Him. We need God certainly spiritually. We need His grace. We need His guidance. We need His help. We need His forgiveness. We need the salvation that only comes by Him and through Him. We need God emotionally. Life is hard to get through without hope. It's an emotional wreck for those that have no hope. We need God and the hope that He provides. We need God and the peace that passes understanding. We need God and the joy that is unspeakable. You know, we are often told to be independent, to trust no one, to be your own person. And some have taken this to mean that they don't need God, but they are wrong. Because they do need God. And no one is so independent and so strong that they can save themselves without God. We need Him. God is our greatest need in this life. Augustine said of God, "You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests with you." We were made for God, and when we're not with Him, we're not going to be happy. We're not going to be fulfilled. Life is not going to be something that is worth living because we were made for Him, and we've taken ourselves away from what we've been made to do, what we've been made to be. The prodigal woke up in a pig pen. And realized that, didn't he? Came to himself and realized he needed his father. He realized he needed God. He realized he needed home. He didn't need the pig pen. The rich man who had harvested much and was going to build bigger barns found out one night that his soul didn't belong to him, but it belonged to God who came and claimed it. Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, member of the Sanhedrin, a teacher of Israel, was told that he had to be born again. That he must be born again if he wanted to see the kingdom of God. He had to be born into the family of God. For he was not there yet. Hezekiah, in the Old Testament, when realizing that his death was upon him, turned his face to the wall in tears and prayed to God, realizing that God was the only one that could change that situation. And God did. The tax collector standing in the temple was ashamed to lift up his eyes in prayer, but he smote his breast and said, God, have mercy on me. So he knew he needed God. Have mercy on me. Why? A sinner. And only you can do something about that, God. Galatians tells us in chapter 1, in verses 3 through 5, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us out of this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. We need God tonight. We will need Him tomorrow, and we'll need Him every day that He grants us the blessing of life. And third, when God gave Jesus, He gave His love in order to change our lives. The change of life finds its source, though, not in some way man thinks. Not in some kind of rationale that man has come up with, not in some psychiatry, not in some psychology, whatever it may be. That change finds its source at the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross has a unique and wonderful power over our lives if we will only let it. In times of pride, it humbles me. When I get to thinking that Nathan's a little bigger than he is, I'm reminded of what my Lord did for me and how little I've ever done for Him. So it humbles my pride. In times of guilt, I am reminded of the forgiveness that flowed in the blood from that cross. I am reminded that I can be forgiven and that I can be right with God. In times of loneliness, it reassures me of His constant concern that if God would give His only Son and allow Him to die the death that He died there upon that cross, He is here with me and He cares about me and He will do the things that I need because He loves me. In times of anger, it reminds me of His patience. I've never been beaten like our Lord was beaten. Never been whipped with a cat of nine tails tearing the flesh from my body. Never had nails driven in my hands. And yet when they raised that cross up that dark Friday, His first words were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when I'm ready to be angry at somebody, when I'm ready to be angry because I've been wronged, I need to remember that example. And that no one has ever wronged me. In fact, the whole of all the wrongs that have been done against me in my entire life do not even touch the hem of that garment. Who am I to get all angry and full of myself? I want to have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. In times of apathy, it stirs my soul. There's a reason that we partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning so that we never forget, so that we never are just about coming here and sitting in pews, but that we remember that we have been bought and that we have a mission. That He has given us responsibility. And we cannot just sit and be what Jesus Christ has called us to be. He did not come to this earth to be served. He did not come to this earth to sit. And we follow His steps. So neither are we. May we be stirred by that. In times of fear, it reassures me. In times of pain, it helps me to know that God understands pain and He understands suffering. In times of worry, it gives me hope that God knows my needs and meets them. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" Let me tell you, all the blessings that God gives you in this life are small compared to the one that he gave you on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago. Those are nothing. Those are nothing. The daily bread and all the things you get, those are easy for God. That was the hard one. And if he was willing to do that, all the others come easy. He was willing because he loved. I can overcome because the change in my life enables me to trust in God, the God that did not spare his own son but gave him for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again." Why? On their behalf. He did that for me. So God gave the very best. He gave to me because I needed him to give me something. And he gave that I might be able to change my life into the image of the one who died, into Jesus Christ. You know, God knew the best way to reach people. He knew the best way to reach them and bring people to change to the point of changing their lives was to love them. There's a story called The North Wind and the Sun. North Wind and the Sun disputed as to which was most powerful and agreed that a victor should be declared in this argument by looking down upon this man walking along. And he was all bundled up in a coat, and they said whichever one could make him take off his coat would be the one that was most powerful. And the north wind went first, and the north wind blew just as hard as he could blow and just kept blowing, just thinking, if I blow him hard enough, he'll take that coat off. But instead, all he would do is pull the coat tighter as the wind blew harder. And they finally gave up. And the sun then took his turn. And he let the warmth of his glow come down upon the man. And that warmth eventually caused that man to take off his coat and to actually get into a stream that lay in his path. And the moral of the story is that persuasion is always better than force. You know, God could have made us do anything. He is God. He doesn't want to make us. That's why he gave us choice. But he sent his son to persuade us. To persuade us to the greatest life there is, the life that is given to him. God hopes that you will love him enough to change your life. He gave up Jesus because he had hope and he had confidence in you and in me. He will not make you, but he does encourage you tonight. How has the love of God changed your life? Have you taken time to think about it, to meditate upon it, and to let it really burrow down into your soul? You know, we sing the song, "I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me?" God asked that question today. What have you given back to the God who gave so much to you? If you've been a good boy or girl this year, you might get a present. If you haven't, you might not. But all the gifts that are going to be given in the next few days by families do not even compare to the gift that God gave you in Jesus Christ. Live for that. Make that the whole of who you are, and you will know God in heaven one day. We can assist you in any way this evening in giving yourself to Jesus Christ, making that sacrifice whole for you by receiving the forgiveness of sins that it offers. We hope and pray that you will let us. Why don't you come this evening as we stand and as we sing.